So if what we're seeing and listening to in Tahrir Square in Cairo is the day of departure demonstration, a departure for Hosni Mubarak, the president of Egypt, who's in the arrivals lounge? Who would be a successor? And how would that actually be implemented? Well, a breaking story from our partner, the New York Times, and Mark Landler suggests one scenario, handing over power to Vice President Omar Suleiman, someone with a longstanding relationship with the United States government. He's principally the coordinator of the CIA's Extraordinary Rendition Program, which dealt with the war on terror suspects beginning in the Clinton administration straight through the Bush administration, a program that's continuing even today, as we discussed on this program yesterday. Mark Landler joins us. He's a diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Also with us to comment on this scenario and on who Omar Suleiman actually is Shibli Telhami, Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, rejoins us. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure.
Mark, describe this story and how the U.S. is either floating this as a trial balloon or insisting upon this as a demand for, say, continued U.S. aid. What's going on?
Well, the U.S. has several scenarios, but they've coalesced around this one as the, you know, preferred outcome. And so they are actively discussing it at several levels through contacts they have military to military, through diplomatic contacts. And basically the thinking is that it's unlikely and probably untenable for President Mubarak to stay in office much longer. And Suleiman, for whatever problems there are with him, and you alluded to one of them just now, is someone that the U.S. can do business with. They know him well, and he has very close ties, importantly, to the military. And so they believe that there may be a way to get a military-backed caretaker government that would immediately begin a dialogue with the opposition and begin the process of constitutional reform and political formation that's necessary to move toward a credible election. I mean, they point out, by way of caution, that Mubarak has not yet said he wants to resign. Indeed, he told Christian Amanpour yesterday that he's fed up but needs to stay on for the sake of his country. And nor is it clear that the Vice President Suleiman is willing to break with his boss and longtime friend to pursue this path. So the U.S. is proceeding with a sense of caution and a recognition that the U.S. doesn't control events there, but this is clearly the strategy they've coalesced around and the one that they are sort of presenting, even pushing with the Egyptians.
Mark Landler, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Stay with us. Professor Shibli Telhami, here's a question. The Iran revolution before Ayatollah Khomeini arrived in the country and really began running things was filled with names that are now lost to history. Shapur Bakhtiar, interim leaders who were set up to try to preserve some of the old order. If Omar Suleiman were to be an interim governmental leader, would the process be orderly or would it sort of accelerate the developments into a much more chaotic situation as Hosni Mubarak is threatening?
I actually see the events of the last few days, really since Wednesday, as an implicit bargaining game going on between the regime, and particularly the military and people around the regime, and the demonstrators, because I think the momentum was on the demonstrators' side, and their demands were escalating. Initially, they just wanted the president to go. Then they said no one from the regime, the whole regime will have to come. Then some were even calling for putting on the president on trial. And I think after Wednesday, And sort of people realized that they still, you know, the regime still has a lot of power if it wanted to exercise it. They were, you know, much more open to some other options, and I think I see that going back and forth. So it's hard to know, because when we talk about the opposition, who are the opposition? All these groups with differences, and clearly the one thing they want is for Mubarak to leave. In between, they haven't coalesced around either a candidate of their own, or you hear voices of people say even Suleiman is okay. The people who say absolutely not, because he's part and parcel of the regime. I don't think the U.S. is going to be able to engineer that, frankly. I've been arguing this all along. In fact, I think it's wrong for us to appear to be engineering it. We have interests. We have to make them privately clear. The military, the U.S. has a lever with the military. It needs to maintain that. The military is going to be central in the future as well. But frankly, the American ability to engineer who's going to rule in Egypt, even in this transition, is very limited.
All right. Well, Mark Landler, let's talk about what the United States could engineer without appearing to interfere. Can they make a deal with Suleiman, for example, that he leads the transitional government and then promises to step down come the free elections? Can they make a deal where this is with Suleiman, where he vows to allow international monitors in to monitor the elections? What can the U.S. get signed on the dotted line?
Well, I think Shibley's right. I think there's a limited number of levers the U.S. has here. And even last night, officials who were talking to us were saying that they wondered whether today's events, the very huge protests and this notion of a day of departure, might force the government's hand. So to some extent, whatever the best hopes of the administration are, there's a recognition that they are hostage to events as well, and that the pace and the outcome of this is dependent on what happens in the streets of Cairo, not in Washington.
Well, they may be beyond hostage. Your colleague James Risen yesterday suggested that particularly Omar Suleiman has the goods on the CIA during the extraordinary rendition program. He's got information that he could threaten to release if they don't go along with what he wants. He's holding the cards here.
Well, I think that's true up to a point, but what I was about to say is this issue of aid to the Egyptian military, even the idea that it might be frozen or the suggestion it might be reviewed, is something that the Egyptians really can't tolerate. And so the administration has used this very gingerly, which they should, because there are all kinds of regional implications. But there are things that the Egyptians depend on the U.S. for, and the aid is one of the key pieces of that. So there are a few levers on the U.S. side, with the understanding that most of the action is over there. And then, as you point out, the Egyptians have some levers as well.
All right, that's Mark Landler, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and Shibley Tilhami, Anwar Sadat, professor for peace and development at the University of Maryland. A final thought, Professor?
Well, I think Omar Suleiman obviously is a key player no matter what, even in the transition. The U.S. Knows him well. He's a doer, but the demonstrators, I think, may not see him as the person they're looking for.
All right. Sounds transitional to me. Shibley Tilhami, thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.